go ahead and turn this mic on now. All right, testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. All right, good to have everybody here. Man, I tell you, there's a lot. Like the flu is something that's really serious that's going around. So we definitely need to keep. Yeah, exactly. And so I had a lot of allergy problems and. I just equated it probably as a cold I got from my kids driving the bus. And then I got the report that they had a lot of cedar hit North Texas really hard. And I'm very, very allergic to cedar. So it's just the allergies been crazy, sinus infection and things of that nature. So I'm still trying to get over it. The last 2 weeks I've been off. It's been trying to get back to health again because I start back work on Monday. So, at least I had those 2 weeks. I had to look at it in a positive way. Again, we're going to continue. We're going to be looking at Job, the book of Job, chapter 18. And and we saw an attack on Job from his supposed friends. And now here's a man that basically was following the commandments of God. God said that he was upright. But God said, presented him before the devil. And the devil says, yeah, you think he doesn't worship you for a reason? Man, you bless his hands. Look at him. He's rich. He's the richest man in Asia. We looked at his wealth around about $28 million, you know, all of his assets. And so he says, yeah, you take away his riches, and he'll curse you in your face. So God allowed the devil to go and take all the wealth from Job. And then later on, and all of his children were killed. He had 10 kids, 7 sons, and 3 daughters. Satan was allowed to kill them. And then he hit him with boils, open pus. It just boils, I think, would be the best. From the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, all over his body. And they oozed pus. And he was miserable. He was in pain. He was in agony. And his wife told him, why don't you just curse God and get it over with, right? Just curse God and get it over with. Why do you still have this allegiance toward God? My goodness. You worship God, but he took everything you got. He took all your wealth. He took your kids. Now your health. You're dying. You know, and I'm sure Job thought that, so the wife probably thought the same thing. You got this disease all over your body. You're dying. Why do you have any sort of allegiance towards God? What's the point? Apparently, God has failed you, right? You know, so it's like, curse him. Just curse him and die. Well, that was the devil trying to get Job to lose his allegiance toward him. You know, he did it with the finances, the loss of his kids. He did it with the disease of his body. And he did it with his wife. And then he had friends that came by. And then they started falsely accusing him of some secret sin. They were like, man, yeah, you were wealthy, but I bet you cheated a lot of poor people to get that wealth. You got to be doing something bad or God wouldn't be punishing you like that. So that was the philosophy of that time period. And so basically we have Bildad just blasting Job. And so here's Job, here's Bildad again. Let me get someone up. I think this mic is on up here. I got a reader. Let's see. This one's broken down. Let's do 1 through 4 first. Just if you turn over to Job chapter 18 and look at verses 1 through 4. And if I have a read, come on up here, brother. Behind that microphone. Joe, is that microphone on there? The table? Is that one fired up? And I'll probably get you to read some more. Just go ahead and read 1 through 4, and then hang tight, and we'll probably read a little bit more.
Job chapter 18, verse 1 through 4. Did Bildad the Shuhite reply?
Let me see if I need to turn it on.
This is and then we thought, why are we regarded as cattle and considered stupid in your sight? is the earth to be a mandatory sin or what?
Okay.
You can go ahead.
Okay. You who tear yourself to pieces in your anger, is the earth to be abandoned for your sake, or must the rocks be moved from their place?
Okay, that's important. All right, just stand tight. So with this one here, what we're looking at is Bildad aims here simply to vent his anger, and what he wants to do is he wants to terrify Job. See, every time Bildad and Eliphaz, they attack Job. And they say, man, you got some secret sin. You better repent. You better start worshiping God, man. You better do something because you're doing something evil, man. You're living an evil life. Now, we may not be able to see it, but you must be, because God is not going to punish a good people. You know, God is going to only punish those who are bad. Now, we know that's not right, because God allows the rain to fall on the just as well as the unjust, right? There's a lot of unrighteous people who are very sinful who are living a good life. So that has nothing to do with it. That's the philosophy of man, but that's not the wisdom of God. So Bildad was just trying to basically threaten him and denounce Job as being innocent. So Job has become, for Bildad, the wickedest man. You know, it's like he's just blasting him, like he's the wickedest man on the earth. And one that doesn't even know God. So we know that God said that Job was upright. But Bildad is saying that you're wicked. God says that he was a good man, and Bildad is saying that he wasn't. So we know that God is right, man is wrong. Bildad consigned Job to hell with the bitterest language that he could command, suggesting that no punishment could be any worse than Job deserved. So it's almost like, man, you deserve what you're going through. Now, have you ever had that? You know, you're down and out, and you go to a family member or friend, and they're like, man, you need to change your life, man. That's what's wrong with you. I mean, you stop living in sin, you know, and some holier, righteous, holier than thou kind of person, self-righteous, they put you down and try to blame you as if because you have lost your job or you're on the street, that is something that you did. Not all the time. Not all the time. There are circumstances, people, you lose your job, a death in the family, okay? A physical impairment of the body. There's all kinds of things, you know, mental disease. People will go into and end up on the street after that. It's not always something that is self-inflicted. You know, people think about, okay, there's people that abuse drugs. That's true, right? We do have people that abuse drugs and end up on the streets, alcoholics that end up on the street and things of that nature. But we do have people that beyond their circumstances, beyond their control, circumstances beyond their control, they end up on the street. It happens all the time. So it's a mixture. So to sit there and say you're on the streets just because you committed some evil is wrong, right?
Yes. I'll have to reiterate.
Yeah.
I wish we could turn that. Stealing at work, and I wasn't going to be a part of it. And so by not being a part of it, they consider me as a threat to them, because I wasn't doing the things that they were doing, like stealing and all that kind of stuff. So therefore, they had to figure out a way to get rid of me. And they always would tell me, whenever I see something wrong, report it. And I did just that to protect me, keep myself out of trouble. And then they considered me as what they call the people, they go around telling people, it's another... Snitch, and all that kind of stuff. All the same time, I protected myself. Yet and still, I've been set up a lot of time. Something that I didn't even do wrong. I did what was right. I never did cheat on my time, nothing like that. Yet and still, I got ousted away from the job anyway. People love bad and they do what? Good. And that's what happened to me. That's what I'm doing.
And that's so true. I mean, I end up in a desperate situation without a job because of that same reason. I didn't want to participate in what was evil. And apparently the institution I work for, I won't say their name because they're pretty close, but they like people fudging information. This is in the medical field. I didn't think that was the right thing to do because people's lives are in danger. It's like me going in your room and saying that I gave you medicine and write it in your chart, but I never gave you any medicine or therapy that I gave you, but you never received the therapy. And this was allowed. And then when I brought that up, I was considered a rebellious person, and they did everything they could do to get rid of me. I ended up leaving, but I was without a job, without a place, you know, for a while there, because I didn't want to lie and to cheat like everybody else was doing just to survive. Okay, so that's a good point. I'm going to continue on, then I'll get you to read verses 5 through 10 after that. Okay, so it is simply a description of Bildad, supposed would be a fate of the wicked. This is Bildad's picture, his vision of what should happen to a person who's wicked. But in that description, he included many allusions that apply particularly to Job. So it's almost like he's trying to say, oh, I'm just talking about evil people. But he's bringing in certain things that are specific to Job. So we know that he's trying to talk about Job. It's almost like, oh, yeah, you know, these people that steal and everything, then you think that I'm a thief. And so you start talking about people who steal and rob and all these things. And God ain't going to do that. And, you know, you'll end up with a hurt leg or something, or end up paralyzed. I'm like, wait a minute. I just got paralyzed, right? So you're trying to say that I'm a thief. That's what Bildad was doing. He was bringing up personal things that had happened to Job as he was applying it generally to wicked people. And then, and I'm sure a lot of you had that situation happen before, because I know I've had that happen to me. This is an allusion that Job had said about his comforters gaping upon him in his mouth when they talk about wherefore are we counted as beasts. That's in verse 3. And that's a beast, like a person, a dog trying to nip at you. And that's what he's trying to say. What are you trying to say? There were some dogs trying to bite at you or something like that. And then in verse 4, it says, Bildad viewed the law of retribution. He changed here that Job seemed to expect the whole universe to be redesigned just for him. So it's like, man, you're evil. You've done wrong. I know you're doing some secret sin. You expect good to happen to you? What do you want? God to change the universal law just because of you? But it's not God's universal law, right? God's universal law is what we talked about, nature. The big animals will prey on the smaller or weaker animals, right? The stronger ones, the bigger ones. Is it right or wrong? But it happens. It's nature, okay? You got lions. They pick out the one that's weak. They pick out the one that has just been born. One that can't run as quick, and they're predators, and they'll get that one, chase it, and they'll kill it, rip it apart, eat it while it's alive. Now we'll look at that and say, oh, that's not right, that's wrong, that's horrible. You know, somebody should help that little lamb or whatever they go, not a lamb, but let's just say they were going after a gazelle or something like that, a baby gazelle. And we look at that and go, oh, that's, man, if I had a gun, I'd shoot that lion. But since nature is designed by God, again, we have to look at it. That's God's design, okay? And then we live in a world where evil people are allowed to be able to live in luxury, fly jet airplanes, live in mansions, you know, get their name and on TV with the nicest suit, eat the fanciest food in the fanciest restaurants. So if what Bildad is talking about is true, all evil people would be punished, and all good people would be rewarded. So people who are Christians and follow God, none of us would be homeless, okay? None of us would be poor. None of us would be sick. God would just be blessing us all if that was true. So it tells you that there's reality, there's God's reality, and that's what Job knew. And then there's the philosophy of the mankind, which is not true. And that's what you'll see today. That's why they blast Christianity, because it flies in the face of man's philosophy today. They think that they're more holier than God. Okay, let's go ahead and do, we did 4, 5 through 10. Five through 10.
Of the mouth of the wicked is snuffed out. The flame of his fire stops burning. The light in his tent becomes dark. The lamp beside him goes out. The vigor of his thick scent is weakened. His own schemes thrown down. His feet thrusting in and he wanders into a mesh. A trap seizes him by the heel, a snare holds him fast. A bruise is in forehead on the ground for trap lies in his path.
Okay, basically Bildad is painted a dark picture of a false witness. So he's saying, Job, you're a liar. Job is saying, I haven't done anything wrong. Okay, I don't have any secret sin. I didn't gain my wealth by cheating poor people. All these accusations that you're throwing against me, it's not true. So Job is continuously defending himself. And they're basically, Bildad's like, man, he painted a dark picture. He said, I'm going to tell you the fate of people wicked like you. And they just go on and on. So have you had situations, any of you had situations like that, where you have a person just telling you your fate? This is what's going to happen if you keep living that way. They don't know anything about you, anything about your situation and why you're where you are. Okay? But they want to judge, pass judgment on you as if they know you. They're holier than thou. That somehow God has spoken into their ear. You know, they're righteous. And they've condemned you. Has anybody had that situation? Yeah, I think we all have. And so Job is getting it now. So how could he have thought that the remembrance of the wicked shall perish? Because he talked about the fact that the wicked, God's going to destroy you. He's going to, and there'll be no memory of you. Because God does, he erases all memory of wicked people. Is that true? Does God erase all memory of wicked people? So that would mean that none of us here could ever mention anybody in history that was wicked, right? Because none of us know anybody in history that was wicked, right? Or is that wrong? Can anybody mention anybody who was wicked in the world? Huh? Oh, wow. Aren't we still talking about Hitler today?
No.
So Bildad says that God is going to eradicate the wicked. Even the memory is going to be eradicated. Nobody's going to even remember it. But aren't we still talking about Adolf Hitler to this day? From the 1930s, you know, and here we are 2020. We're still talking about it. Mussolini, Mao, all these dictators that we talk about. And even we can look at Cain in the biblical sense, Cain and Abel. You know, Cain did a wicked thing. He killed his own brother. And we can look at the Pharisees and Sadducees that lied against Christ and then end up having him crucified. So there are evil people, Herod, King Herod, right, put out a decree to kill any baby that's 2 years old and younger just to eradicate the coming of the Christ. And so this guy, King Herod, is an evil guy. You know, the Pharaoh at that time was an evil guy, you know. And so we talk about evil people still to this day. They're not eradicated from history, as Bildad said they were going to be. And then he said, the remembrance of the wicked shall perish from the earth, in Job 18 and 17. Even a fool should, and I'm going to get you to go ahead and just read, because I got you to read 10. And I want you to go ahead and read all the way down to, and then we'll break it. We'll break down the rest of it. Go ahead and read all the whole chapter.
Okay. Verse 11. Uh-huh. And to turn toward him on every side and dog with every step. A calamity is hungry for him. Disaster is ready for him when he falls. It eats away part of his skin. Then firstborn devours his limbs.
He is torn from the security of his tent and washed off to the king of terrors. Fire resides in his tent. Burning sulfur is scattered over his dwelling. His roots dry up below, and his branches wither above. The memory of him perishes from the earth. He has no name in the land. He is driven from right into darkness and is banished from the world. He has no offspring or descendants among his people. No survivor where once he lived. Men of the west are appalled at his fate. Men of the east are seized with horror. Surely such is the dwelling of an evil man. Such is the place of one who knows not God.
Oh, wow. Thank you, brother.
Okay, sir.
Okay, so, wow, he's slapping the face, you know. I'm going to tell you the fate of an evil man, because you're evil, Job. I'm going to tell you one who doesn't know God, because you don't know God, Job. Now, have you been in a situation where you tried to get some kind of help or counseling from your friends, family members, and they pretty much said that you was evil. Stop being evil, man. Stop living in sin. You have no idea. You had that happen all the time. Yeah. And I remember I had some issues, and I don't mind saying it, like hemorrhoids, right? And I had people talk about, you know, it must be some secret sin. That's one of the curses of God. You know, God cursed people with hemorrhoids, so he must have some secret sin, something going on with Brother Eric. Okay, well, it wasn't as they proposed. You know, they thought I had some real dark secret sin. What it was is I was just gluttonous. I would eat dairy. I'm lacto intolerant. And when I would eat dairy, it would cause me to have hemorrhoids. I knew it, right? But I wanted to eat what I wanted to eat, and I didn't care. I just had to suffer the consequences. Ibuprofen, you know? Give me some anti-inflammatory agents, but I'm going to eat that dairy. I'm going to eat that cheese pizza, because I'm a cheese pizza fanatic, even though I knew I was lacto intolerant. And then, of course, when I started behaving myself and stopped eating cheese, of course, they went away. But that didn't stop the rumors, because I'm very open. You know, I got hemorrhoids are bothering me, you know. Oh, they flared up, and then they're like, yeah. You know, that's one of them curses from the Bible. It must be, you know, Eric must be doing something bad, you know. But it was like I went through that too. And I don't say anything. I don't have to defend myself, because the good Lord Almighty, he knows me. He knows exactly what I've done, I'm doing, going to do, and what I'm thinking. So as long as I'm okay with him, I could care less what anybody says. I don't care what their position, whether they're a minister here or a deacon here, an elder here, members here, I don't care. You know, as long as the good Lord Almighty knows me, I'm fine with that, you know. And that's why I addressed it. I told you guys, you know, I repented of the gluttony, because it's been a part of my life for a long time. And so I just had to say, okay, I can't sit here and be a preacher and be living and I've let go so many devices of sin, but that one I kept was that gluttony, you know. And so I had to get rid of that. And with that, of course, you can see the pounds have come down. Last year, I was like 392 pounds, you know, last year. Now I'm down to 324 pounds. So I want to get down to 230, which is my ideal weight. But that came with discipline and stopping the cheating and stop eating stuff that I know is going to hurt my body, right? It's the temple of God, and I was abusing the temple of God, so I was living in sin. Yeah, I knew it was a sin. But I had given up drinking, smoking, all that womanizing, violent behavior, and hanging out, you know, being a crazy punk rocker and all the stuff I used to do, and I figured, well, that's enough. I'll just hold on to this little one, right? And I think some of us still do that, don't we? We hold on to that little vice, it's not as bad as the other ones, right? But we know deep down inside, we got to let that one go too, right? Okay, so let's go ahead and summarize. We're going to summarize here with Bildad, because we can look at special servants of Satan themselves. Now, he said that evil people are going to be eradicated. So again, we talked about Hitler. There's Cain. There's Esau. There's Baal. We're still talking about Balaam or Baal. There's Ben-Amalek, Saul, Nebuchadnezzar, all these evil kings of Israel that we read about. We're still talking about them today. Their names haven't been eradicated. Their history is not eradicated from the earth. Countless members of them memorialized their names, the names of the wicked men in the earth. So Bildad was blind to that. He didn't even understand the history of that, at his time, there were still the names of evil men being mentioned. And so there's no possible way that Job to escape. He might as well admit the wickedness. So that's what Bildad was saying. Stop sitting there trying to defend yourself, Job. I got you, buddy. You're wicked, okay? There's no escape. Just admit it. And that's what they want him to do. So does that happen to you? Where you're trying to say, no, I'm good. I don't know why, you know, this is going on with me. And they look at you, uh-huh, yeah. Well, oh, you ain't doing any drugs anymore? You're not doing anything. You're living like a saint, right? You're trying to tell me that God is going to put you in that situation for nothing? You ain't doing anything wrong? Isn't that philosophy of today? where people think just because bad stuff happens to you, then you must have done something bad. Think about Jesus, okay? They falsely accused him, you know, and they basically lied against him. They had false witnesses against him, and then they ultimately beat him, scourged him, and then they killed him, right? And he did nothing. Nothing wrong. Same thing we see here in Job. Job was an upright man, and that he was perfect in his ways, which that means that perfection was he followed the commandments of God. So he's following the commandments of God. He's doing what God wants him to do, but yet the devil was putting him through that. Now, God allowed it to be a temptation. And when I say not temptation in the sense that we know it, but it is a testing, okay? So it was a testing for Job. Job had to go through tests. In James chapter 1, that's when we find out that count it all joy when you go through various trials and tribulations, knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces patience, and patience, perfection, and perfection, wanting nothing. That's the formula. So God puts us through all this stuff that we're going through, and we may not know. Job didn't know. Job had no idea why he was going through all this stuff. So you may not know why you're going through what you're going through, but God is putting you through the fire to make you stronger, to increase your patience so that you are perfected, tough as nails. So you get like the old lady who has no family members, no money at all, she's broke. The only thing she has is her house, and the house burns down with everything in it, all her memories, everything. And she's out there just praise God, thank you, Jesus, thank you, God, oh, thank you, Jesus. Like, what is this weird, you know, crazy woman talking about? Thank you, Jesus. You have no family. You have nothing. You just lost your only thing you had was your house and all possessions, all your memories, everything. And you're out there praising God? Why do you think she's that strong? Because she sees the bigger picture. Regardless of all this materialistic stuff, it's going to go anyway. The one thing he spared was her life. And that's what she's thanking God. She's not looking at the negative. That's not even negative. The most important thing is her life. And God spared her life, and that's why she's happy. So when we go through trials and tribulations, what happens is you get to a point where you're going to be faced with them again in the future. But guess what? You're going to respond differently because you've already been through it. You're tested. You're tried. You have more patience. You've been perfected. And so all these things that we think of as being negative and bad are actually good. Boot camp. You tell me let me see the guys that have went to the military. Raise your hand if you served in the military. Okay? Those who served in the military, raise your hand if you love boot camp. Raise your hand if you love boot camp. We got Joe in the back. Boot camp wasn't fun, right? It was a lot of hard work. But what did it do? It made you a tougher, better soldier. And so God does the same thing for us because we're soldiers in the army of the Lord, right? And he's perfecting us, so we can look at it that way. I'm going to go on with Bildad because we know that Bildad is not correct. But there's no possibility that Job could escape with Bildad. His plump body becomes emaciated. In chapter 18, verses 11 through 13, he's making fun of the fact that Job is sick and his body is wasting away. And I've seen people like that. I've had the same thing happen to me. I lost weight. People just assume, because I was a punk rocker, I was on some kind of crack or something. And they made rumors that, you know, Eric's losing weight because he's on crack. I lost 120 pounds in less than a year. What they didn't know is that I became a vegan. I just stopped eating meat and stopped eating fried foods, and I started juicing. I just ate healthy and started exercising like crazy. And so I was doing something good, but the rumor around the hospital where I worked was that Eric's on crack. And then later on, some people thought maybe Eric's got cancer, you know. Because I was exactly, Eric's on crack, you know. And that was the rumor, that's what they thought, you know. And so it didn't matter what I said at that point, they just knew until I started talking to them about my eating regimens and all the stuff I did. Then it changed. But they had already judged me. And now, here it is, they made fun of me, okay? So they're making fun of me behind my back, talking about behind my back. And so now Job, his buddies, his friends, they're like, man, look at you. You're emaciated. Your body's withering away. Dude, you got to be sinning. Now, how many people have we seen, you know, like when AIDS, HIV came out, and you see somebody losing weight, and they go, oh, they must have AIDS. They look like they got AIDS, you know. It's like, so is AIDS the only thing on the earth that can make you lose weight? Can cancer make you lose weight? Can TB make you lose weight? You have tuberculosis, you have emphysema, guess what? You're going to lose weight. If you got diabetes, guess what? You're going to drop weight. A lot of people that have diabetes lose a lot of weight. My buddies did when they first got diabetes. And so there's other reasons that you can lose weight, but people are going to falsely accuse you of some sort of sin because that's just the way people are. So his ribs, he says his ribs stick out. He's got disease, corrosion of his skin. Now, did Job have anything to do with his skin being open boils? That's something that the devil did to him, right? God allowed the devil to do that. It's not like he went out there and played around in the poison ivy, or that he sit there and was doing drugs that made his skin bust out in these boils. He had nothing to do with that, but they're making fun of him. Or he is, Bildad's making fun of him. And then it talks about the death's oldest son swallows his organs. So in other words, our oldest nemesis, death, is going to swallow all the organs. You're going to die. Firstborn of death, the first, he says, the worst pestilence and the king of terrors itself is going to be death. Death is coming to get you, Job. Why don't you go ahead and repent of your evil, wicked ways? Why don't you just admit that you're evil? Because death's about to get you, buddy. You look horrible. You're emaciated. Your body's wasting away. I mean, if this is a friend, trust me, this is one I don't want. Brimstone shall be scattered upon the habitation in verse 15. Fire and brimstone will rain upon Sodom and Gomorrah. So that was a study. They knew that. So they're like, okay, wait a minute. What happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? All the sins, so you're equating me right now with the people of Sodom and Gomorrah? And that I deserve to be destroyed just like they were? And that's how brutal this accusation was. It is not hard to read Bildad's evil thoughts toward Job in this remark. And so he's talking about brimstones raining upon like Sodom and Gomorrah. He's really judging Job. And then back down to verse 21, the use of the singular pronoun here, as in the preceding clause, indicates that the whole series of denunciations, all this, these accusations, are not broad and general about evil people. No. They're levied against an individual, and that individual is Job. So he tried to pretend that he was talking about somebody else, but he was actually talking about Job. Okay, so that's the end of that. You know, that's a lot of flowery language that Bildad used, but in a nutshell, and then in verse 19 next week when we look at that, we're going to find Job is going to answer him. Now, in Job, I found a lot of stuff. Like I said, Job is mentioning things that would happen in the New Testament. And so there's a lot of stuff we can get out of Job's explanation in chapter 19 next week. But any questions about today? Anybody have any comments or questions? Going once. Going twice. Go ahead. We got two questions.
I thought I had, well, pamper, but I got to do it. And I'm scared.
Okay. Well, that's something we can talk about, you know.
In Gordon.
Yeah, thank you. We'll pray for you, brother. Because that's not anything that nobody wants to do. And I trust me, going through this spinal cord injury, I've had to face a lot of stuff. Incontinence and bowel movement, the whole bit. It's not pleasant, man. Go ahead.
I think it's a statement. I've been there for 5+ years straight. I missed 2 days out of work because I've been sick. One day each. But I've been at the job site for 5+ years straight. And they still put me through what they put me through.
Yep.
They're still all back in there with me, trash to lose me. And this is what God put in my mind. Although I'm homeless right now and trying to go back to work, I'm going to say those same things over and over again. Yet still, like you said, Mr. I learned from that. Now, when I get back to that same situation again, I better handle it.
You can handle it better now. You've gone through that. And same thing with me. Lord, I can tell you one job situation after the other, but if you're not willing to lie, you're not willing to cheat and steal, okay? A lot of times the bosses, too much integrity doesn't work in a lot of business. They're looking for the person that doesn't mind lying, doesn't mind cheating, doesn't mind stealing, you know, from people. I'm too honest. And honesty, a lot of times you don't make as much money. I'm not going to sell you anything that you, and I'm not going to charge you more than you need to be charged. I'm just not going to do that. And because of that, I just didn't, you know, I wasn't any benefit to the CEO of the company. I was not an asset to the company. I was a liability. I was too honest. And so, I lost some jobs because of that. So I do understand that. But I'd rather lose a job and lose the career and all the big money and all that stuff than lose my soul salvation. I'm not gonna lose my soul over not even millions of dollars, much less, you know, multi thousands of dollars a year. Anybody else? Okay. If no more questions, then may God add a blessing to the study of Job and the reading and the hearing of His word. God bless you all.
He chastises those that he loves. But again, remember, we're not talking about it, because Job is a different situation.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. I have so many pains and aches.
Yeah.
I'm breaking out with sores all over my arms.
All right. Well, think about the irony, okay? As you're getting closer to God, then your health gets worse. So how is that not the same as Job?